This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, the time is now 4:48, and I'm calling this meeting to order. Chelsea, if you could please call the roll, that'd be great.
He's on his way. He might be a little bit late because of the rain. So he's
great, thank you. The first part of the meeting is going to be approval of the 8:30-12 meeting minutes. Are there any motions on the floor? There's been a motion to approve the minutes. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? With that, the meeting minutes from last meeting have been approved. The next part of the meeting is a presentation and question and answer by the Chief of Cornell University Police, Kathy Zoner. So everyone, welcome her. A round of applause.
So we had quite a busy start this semester, and I would say, the start has been the response from the community, the response from the administration, the response from the students has been overwhelmingly positive. We certainly see a lot of cooperation that we normally do within the investigation or through the things, but it's been something for students, staff, faculty,
Connection
support to students in this term that I'm going to support to those persons to be aware of campus. report about some extended hours, so that that expert person is available more in the evening, overnight. And that said, no one else has advertised this, but we've done a certain way of requesting that for them. What happens after 2:30 is sometimes there's a delay, but we never tell somebody too bad that that's so slow. You're not going to get the assistance to get home. You might direct them to the resources first, depending on how available our officers are. But if we have an officer available, we will send someone out to get that person home safely. So it's still highly individualized in service. It's, from what I've been saying, we've seen a slight increase, but our average is about 1 or 2 at night. That's the hours of darkness on up until 2 o'clock in the morning. And we don't get that many after hours requests. So I just wanted to reach out and say that nobody gets turned away. No relationship with the idea of help. We either direct them to other resources if they have a friend who we can call to them, or cab service, or any other way that we can get them there. Or we go and meet up with them and get them where they need to go. The light comes in and they're really obvious there. We don't like to just have people delay the season, they start to walk on their own anyway. We are definitely looking into the opportunity at the early years trying to extend that service permanently into earlier hours in the morning, if it's 12 p.m. and it's that day. And then you get to find out people that want to work from 2 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the morning. It's very, very difficult. We have definitely been partnering with DNC's offices in a lot of different areas. Anywhere we can program people, show up at the forum, talking sessions, information sessions, we're available to do that. My phone has been stopped ringing, my email box is full. I try to get access to plenty of times of fashion. If I can't, I delegate it down to someone who will. So you don't get any direct answers from me, you are getting a direct answer from us. I think we've been doing pretty good at keeping up with the volume. Certainly our annual light survey is going to come up later in the fall. We were talking about opening that survey up earlier. We've gone back to the areas where the crimes occurred and have already done lighting improvements there, lighting surveys there. One of the areas that was slated for a doubling in lighting capacity there, that was going to end the way. So there's nothing to do with that. In addition, there are at least there's been a couple of two light bulbs along the Gorge Trail, along the Gorge, in addition to a few more bulbs submitted to a couple other locations that we could leave a gap. I will say that in every case that we had last weekend, multiple blue light bulbs were passed by and not used by the witnesses to show people that were suffering from the victims in the crime. I don't want that to sound that they should have. I'm just saying that they are out there. I want to remind everybody that they are there. If you've witnessed a crime, if you've seen a crime, if you're part of a crime, if you're a victim of a crime, you definitely want to pick one of those up.
Thank you very much. We do have a couple of questions on the speakers list right now. The first one is Representative Kerr. But just before, we just want to thank you because we know that you and your staff are working really hard right now, and we just want to thank you for your efforts in making sure that we have a safe campus. So.
That might have some questions about that. If nothing else, just confidence.
Representative Block. Representative Torones.
Identify some of the clients. I don't have any statistics on how many of those. I am
we're working on a way, you can go to our website and see the crime alert. We're working on a way that we can have some time and opportunity to update those crime alerts so that you know ultimately what happens. So this could be 3 months after the event, for the incident, and we've got apprehension, but it's still on the news, so people will pick it up. Or for some reason, it's kind of quiet. Whatever the record feels, there's going to be some pictures about it. But we could probably put a, there are places we know we can put lines like Princess Avenue in the dark and in the skate. But wouldn't that necessarily raise the public media? And wouldn't maybe be allowed to release this information on that? I'll give you the numbers by going back to the office and everything. But I agree with you, there's been a number of cases where good events can't get to figure out. Cases from last year, I can say that are not related to the cases this year. And this year, we're still trying to unfold how much is related to what there.
Representative Scalfo.
Hi. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so, right off, perfect segue, thank you. The crime alert. The time that I've been receiving the crime alerts, I've only received emails about forcible touching. What made this incident different from other rapes at the university that was able to send that out to the entire student body?
Okay. The Jane Theory Act, 1988, is what determines what crimes are mandated in the Supreme Court in our annual security report, which comes out every year right before we go back to school. And also mandate what crime, if there is an ongoing and imminent danger continued across the campus, that was the timely notice, the timely warning. That timely warning we call crime alert on the campus. So the triggers that have to be in place are, that have to be in place that can tell us to report a timely warning, are that the report of crime. And there are some that I think probably would be beyond everyone. So there's some kind of stress, some other violent crime. In our perception of the community, a violent crime, I think the society's perception so it has to be reportable crime, it needs to have, there needs to be an ongoing threat to the community, and it has that ongoing threat to the image. So you also see crime alerts for, if we know there's a pattern of crime that's not a reportable crime. So you'll get a crime alert saying there have been a number of thefts, people fall, these lots of people fall, you know, if you have a rash, we have a pattern that we can track, that means everybody that's even in orbit is using their wallet or belongings, we're putting the lights out to talk about. Which most of the crime alerts that you see, and most of what has been reported to us, that we haven't been able to apprehend the person at the time. Usually because it's a late reporting and it's understandable why we have a late reporting, I want to be very clear. But usually because it's a late reporting, we're not responding immediately to the scene, we have less opportunity to have hands on somebody. So if that person is still out and about, and we have reason to believe that that person will or could strike again, then we'll put out a sometimes you'll find a perpetrator knows the individual, and even though that's not necessarily, that doesn't cancel out a timely warning, it's somewhat the way out on the other side. Even if the person has known that individual, it doesn't preclude us from putting out a timely warning. We just have to go on whether or not it's going to our general best estimation, because it is an estimation, is there a continuous threat to the around here, it seems to be what's up for us right now. If you look back at older crime alerts over the 3 years back, there's more assault. And before that, there's more along the lines of assault that we're reporting from other agencies. So it seems like violent crimes are on the rise, or violent crimes are being reported more often. And I think that's also where we are with the assault, the sexual assault. In that I'm a woman, I've grown up in college, I can tell you right now, what we get reported to us is just barely touching the surface of what happens to women on the stage.
if everybody reported, we have a lot of crime alerts, which is necessarily a great thing for the field of safety. But if everybody reported, we would have more opportunity to go after the people that are perpetrating crime.
Representative Bracek.
Hello. Quick question. For a lot of these I was wondering that if there is a mechanism for the ERA to provide an education to the students or any students that the most have in time?
Yeah, we're president of education, we do RA training, that's part of the media for the RA, we do the training. There are a couple of ways that we touch the agency's responsible for better management, like program staff and medical student staff. So all that information is passed on forward. We can do often in the preventively in the past, what we find is, cameras on campus are one of the things that sort of people want them when they want them and they don't want them when they don't want them. They have different expectations about what a camera does for people. There are people who believe that cameras and installations can monitor our homes, you can get some parents in progress, you can get there and take care of it. There are people that only want the camera to be adventure, so if something is going wrong with that camera automatically senses it and turns on, whether that's an open door or a window. There are people who don't want any cameras in enclosed spaces. There are people that don't want any cameras in exterior spaces. So at a university of our size, using cameras gets a little tricky. And sometimes those of us that have been on this campus for quite some time lose touch with what the general feel is of the general population about their feelings about campus. When something like this happens, we tend to get a very positive response, we should have a camera there, we should have this, we should have that. But in prior times, the media sometimes gets pushback to say, we really don't want a camera there, this is, you know, seems like things are going to. My personal viewpoint is that we can do a lot more technology on this campus than we have to have on a daily basis. We can use cameras and all these technology in darkened areas where we could put in infrastructure that can afford non-monitor video. It would be responsive video, so we would at least have captured images of people who might have committed crimes. And there is pretty good evidence that cameras are placed and with the knowledge that the cameras are in place, that the crime is a big target. So I do know that if you have to meet that all the bridges that we have cameras on them. So that's already in place. But there might be other ideas there that we can identify and put this with lighting and cameras and so on.
The last two questions are coming from Representative Bonatti and then VP Breed.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Governor. So, I have a question. So, regarding the integration that happened in college town, and for example, the second place, a lot of students might be confused regarding the reporting for the life and the work in the health system. So, I was wondering what kind of collaboration is there for now and students reporting to both or to one? And the second one is related to what so you might be aware that the international education in other ways and workshops with the entire workshop about the same topic, which I found to be helpful. Maybe if you can have a workshop for the whole community after the orientation, or the orientation with the general body. perpetrator, for example, the perpetrator allows, you know, students to bring certain things, or, you know, or how the patient should be resolved, and then I think that the report perpetrator was published.
Okay, again, it's three questions. I'm trying to remember all of them. For the next third, I'm going to get a little bit off.
So, collaboration between PETA and your institute, and workshop like the one for the students, and in the college.
Okay. Whenever we have to arrest someone, for not being able to arrest someone, unless there's a compelling reason not to publish, we do a press release. Whether or not the media services choose to pick it up and run it, relationship with the son. They're usually pretty excited when they can give them some community type things, so we don't have an issue with publishing there. But the event usually have to be sort of reworked. We have a crime law, daily crime law. All you have to do is go to our website, you can either subscribe and have a set reminder sent to your inbox to look at it, or just to look at it today. That'll be about 24 to 48 hours behind schedule. But it has every contact, every police contact that we make. The community does what we do with the police agency or with Hudson County Sheriff's Office. And we do this quite often. Crimes are often the amount of the property determines whether or not we hold the case, and sometimes the severity of the case determines whether or not we hold the case. So if we were to have, a very high level crime up here, say homicide, we don't have the resources that routinely go through what children need to investigate the homicide. But we do have the resources now to deploy that. So we'll do a joint investigation. And it wasn't that long ago where we had off campus murder, which involved a person with definite mental health issues, where we supported the anxiety agency because the people were put up. People involved in the interpretation or whatever. So I would have to look at the front camera a lot more than the things investigated and so on. But those types of crimes are published. The lower those crimes, you have to kind of seek out the information. They are published, so you have to seek the information out in the right location, and that would be for crime laws. And then cooperation is excellent with all the external agencies. You guys, the police department, a lot of the people that hire part-time police officers, all they can see is the village door campus. Most of those part-time officers are actually our officers. That's the part-time police officers. You actually receive them the same patients as the uniform. Then the city police, we have a good relationship with them as well. We share kind of the heat of College Town. We have the constituency that lives out there, but there's their fiction per se, and it is different. And certainly we have lots of property of people that live in the county who are sheriff's office and state police or agency that work in very often. Additionally, we'll work with federal agencies, either protective services or we need to do a threat assessment and identify any information or identification for a different area. We work with those kinds of agencies. We have a very big experience of cooperation with
international
one day. Yes, program. So we do programs all the time. We do a lot of them, and they're kind of like a blue light network. They're very efficient. We can't quite figure it out. We ran a workshop last spring. We did get these out of Lower Strait because they were doing construction in Lower Strait. So we're looking for it, we thought maybe that might have affected it. But we had 25 safety vendors here, a lot of education products. We were there, a bunch of people were there, we were more than 50 people came. And that was it. And that was all we had. We had raffles, we had giveaways, and I'm working on where that sort of helps the marketing strategy, and we just got there really looking at that. So we're on top of maybe some other opportunities we have to get the word out when we're having something that's more open to the public. But we also do targeted programs, we do free prepared websites. Any on that can call for and we will definitely be there. So anytime, anybody, for any reason, it's kind of like our school motto, we have that at our
And the last question was from VP Reed.
So hi guys, thank you for coming. I'm right here. I know you're looking for me. So I remember last year as a follow-up to UBC, you came to present when we were in the physical science building, and you mentioned some of the services that UBC offers, like ride along with the police, et cetera, et cetera. So I was kind of wondering, what can the student assembly do to work with UPD to kind of like outreach and like publicize all the services that the Cornell Police offer? Because especially in light of recent events, I feel like if more people knew like these services were offered, it'd be, you know, just do so much for the community. So like, what can we do?
Sure. Well, you all represent different groups on campus. So you have your listeners, you have connections. If you're looking to browse, you can see there's an opportunity for us to become present to someone. A one-on-one contact with someone, please pass that on to us. Take a look around campus. I talked to Anisha and Jeffrey, and I think the safety task force would be a great place to sort of vet any questions, so we have that one point of contact, and to make sure we're not duplicating campus, because I know everybody's going to see it, so necessarily want to be doing something parallel or something else. And we also have the Public Safety Advisory Committee, which is a committee that Anisha chairs, and she can bring those issues to the larger issues to us. Sometimes we get a little bit stalled in our opportunities to get to the private citizens that live on campus and have to come into the community that have different preferences and standards of lighting and access and all sorts of things. So sometimes we can count down and so there's a way that we can build relationships with the town. That can be very helpful. To kind of bring this idea together. I know I have no other idea, if I remember it. Email it out to Adam, who just circulated it. He knows that I think the students are great at getting in contact with me and ask questions. I really appreciate that. I wanted to have this contact and I wanted to have this conduit of information. So I think it's going the wrong way to kind of get in together and feel for where we are today and what kind of way to get them.
Thank you very much for coming to speak with us today, and I know you're already working with a couple of SA members and collaborating, and we really look forward to working with you in the future. So thank you very much. So now we are moving on to open microphone. If there's anyone in the audience who isn't currently on the agenda who would like to speak to the SA about anything, someone smiling. Maybe? No? No. Okay, so moving on to announcements and reports. The first announcement is actually by Anisha Chopra, who's sort of following up on Chief Zoner's presentation. So feel free to begin. The microphone's over there. Thank you. Next on the announcements and reports is a Cayugas Watchers announcement by EVP John Mueller.
All right, well, we're actually very excited to announce that we are accepting applications for executive board positions. For those of you who don't know about Cayugas Watchers, the quick definition is that it's an initiative that aims to promote student safety, curtailing alcohol-related incidents, looking out for incidents of people who are drinking too much, possible sexual assault situations, as well as looking for damage in people's residences, really just the extra eyes and ears of hosting the party. But it's a huge operation, and it will be launching hopefully in the spring. And we have positions for VP of Outreach, VP of Finance, Recruitment, Internal Operations, Training, and Scheduling. So lots of opportunities, and we hope that some SA members will apply, and members of the audience, all three plus one of you, if you would like to get an application, we should have a couple extras for you as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Next on the announcements and reports is a elections update by DOE, John Weinberg.
Hey everybody, I hope you guys are enjoying your wonderful Thursday afternoon. Just a friendly reminder that we're missing our fall elections right now. We have 35 freshman candidates for 4 positions, and we have 2 transfer candidates for 1 position. I'm not sure we have any candidates in the audience today. I guess not. Well, a bunch of them were here last week, and they were very enthusiastic about the process. Just an update on three things that the Elections Committee is very enthusiastically doing to boost turnout and things that the SA and the community could help out with. First, we are trying to directly engage people who can directly engage freshmen, who have influence with freshmen, RAs, RFPs, orientation leaders, cultural organizations, what have you. And we're personally contacting them and encouraging them to encourage people to vote because they have influence there. Secondly, we are actually compiling a list of large freshman lectures and presenting those lectures as an opportunity to inform students about the election process via a slide and a brief presentation. And if you guys have any digital lectures that you can get on, just let me know. And finally, and this is something we really need everyone to help with, we will be operating voting booths on North Campus and possibly on Willard Street on Monday and Tuesday afternoon and evening, with the idea that the more and more exposure freshmen and new students have to the election process, the more and more they will have an opportunity to vote. So we thank you all for helping out that initiative. Again, you know, make the idea that the student assembly is represented by, and as many votes as possible, make it a best possible body. So thanks, and we look forward to a great election process. All the day has been great. No elves this year, unfortunately, maybe a Batman.
When does campaigning start?
Campaigning has begun. It's been going on for this week. I'm sure there's a little rain to the damper on that, but voting is this coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, starting Monday at 10 a.m., Wednesday ending at, Wednesday at 10 a.m., and that's assembly.cornell.edu/vote. And get out the vote. We're off the Cornell vote.
And one last reminder announcement from VP Lucas Shevitz.
Just a reminder that after our regular meeting, we're going to have executive session for SA training. And so expect to stay until about 7 o'clock.
Thank you very much. So we are now moving on to business of the day. The first piece of unfinished business is Resolution 2, sponsored by VP Desai, and that's the approval of the 2012-2013 operating budget. What? Oh, I don't know. So you have 2 minutes to present again, and then we'll open up the speakers list for debate.
You guys have 2 budgets in front of you. The one that is being proposed is on the first page, which is pretty much the same thing that you guys had last week. I apologize for the small formatting error, which is probably not all. There's a small bit of a over on the second page there. It basically just shows up, gives you the totals of everything, so not much to do with material. Thank you.
Okay, great. We are now opening up the speakers list. First on it is Representative Marshall. You have 1 minute to speak. Oh, it's a question. So 1 minute to ask your question. Just speak a little louder. Thank you.
The one with the, okay, the one that, could you clarify which one is which, maybe?
Yeah, Ronio, could you, but yeah. So if everyone looks at the first page is the original one. You can label it number one if you'd like. And then on the second page, you can take a look. And if you look under basically the third section, committees and other programs, it's significantly reduced, and that's the second budget. So we're now opening up the speakers list to any comments or questions. VP Luke Shevitz.
Just to explain why, or should I just say the minutes? Okay, I move to change the budget so that all the other committees' funding is pulled into one category, except for appropriations, public service committee, SUNY SA, and the $0 for Ivy Council. That way, if one of the committees that currently under the budget that Roneal or representatives or VP Desai has proposed that he didn't provide funding for, if they need funding, they do have an opportunity to ask for funding from. Why are you shaking your head?
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to pool all of the money for the committees except for those delineated in the second budget, number two, and the rest of the money would go into a budget. That motion has been seconded. Is there any dissent? So there is dissent. So we are going to vote to vote. So we are going to open up the speakers list on this amendment now.
Okay.
And okay, so the question was why'd you pull? Next on the speakers list is VP Lukshevitz.
Right, so the Appropriations Committee, Public Service Committee, and SUNY SA Committee are pulled out of the pooling because they historically have used that money for very specific things, such as the Public Service Committee for the booklet, and they need significantly more funding than the other committees, whereas other committees sometimes use money, sometimes don't use money, and pooling them would allow them to use it as needed.
Next on the speakers list is VP Desai.
Sure. So I guess just to explain a little bit of the rationale of going into this. So basically the concept is that in the past, SA committees have been given money and they either haven't spent some or around the end of the semester, you know, the vice president of finance is like, hey, by the way, you have $100 in your budget. And they're like, oh, well, then I'm just going to order food for my committee this week or something like, you know, we're just going to basically give it away by doing some event that we're not going to really have too much time to do and waste that big money. So the concept behind the committees that have consistently spent money on annual projects, so those being appropriations, the pretty solidified process, the GMP as a guidebook, which they've done 2 years in a row now, SUNY SA has gone to a conference every year, so I'm sure Dan and Sarah.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Smith. That's out of turn. It's out of turn. We're going to continue on the speaker. Sure, you can finish your thought.
Okay. And also, would we not then need a set of rules that would essentially tell us what would allow the funding to be committee that is cool and what sort of funding was not adequately out?
So we're going to continue down the speaker's list, and you're now on the speaker's list to speak after Representative Scalfo. A minute. Representative Scalfo. And I'm sorry, just to clarify, right now we are debating VP Lukashevich's motion to pool all of the committee funding. We're debating an amendment to the budget, basically. Last week, VP Desai presented the first budget, and Melissa made a motion to amend that budget to pool that money. So we're debating the amendment right now. Except for the committees that are delineated there. Representative Scalfo.
Show my support.
The different support of amendments made by Vice President of Internal Operations of the Senate. I think that starting committees don't necessarily need all of that funding, and it allows other committees to have more expensive initiatives or whatnot. I just think it's a great idea so that, because I mean, committees don't need any money that we do give them, or very few dollars in them. I just support it.
Represent VP Desai.
I guess a couple points. So, representatives from the Toronto point that, like, a committee that currently doesn't get money should get funding under the new system. They can actually get funding under the current system as well. They would just come to us and say that they have.
Call a question on the amendment.
It's been called to question. It's been seconded. We are going to vote on this amendment. So, and we're voting to vote on the amendment. So everyone who is in favor of this amendment to to pool the money except for those.
We're in the vote.
Right, in favor of voting for the amendment to the budget. Please raise your placards. Everyone who is against voting for the amendment. Everyone who is abstaining from this vote. By a vote of 14-3-1, we are going to vote on this motion, this amendment to the budget. So we are now going back to the amendment, and we'll actually do a placard vote again. If you're in favor of VP Lukashevich's amendment, please raise your placard. If you are against the amendment. Anyone abstaining? By a vote of 12-5-1, the amendment passes. So we are now going back into the resolution itself. The resolution has been called to question. It's now been seconded. There's been dissent. Can you explain your dissent? Do you have a motion? So we are going to go back into debate because is there a motion on the floor? We're going to open up the speaker's list to this motion. Representative Kerr, do you want to go?
I think last week we made one of these cases of why we aren't coming out of council. It's not necessarily happening anymore, and I think it's an inefficient use of our funds. Even though it's a small amount, we have to be funding it, but still money that we can use for
It's been called to question. Is there a second? It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to go into a roll call for the budget. Oh, I'm sorry, for the amendment. We are voting on the amendment right now for funding Ida Council, and we're going to have a placard vote for it. So everyone in favor of funding Ivy Council, please raise your placard. Everyone who is against funding Ivy Council. Any abstentions? By a vote of 0-13-5, the amendment fails. We're going back into the original resolution. Is there a motion? The resolution's been called to question and seconded. Is there any dissent? So we will now go into a roll call for Resolution 2, the operating budget. Chelsea, could you please call the roll when the microphone works? We're in the middle of a roll call.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 18 to 0 to 0. By a vote of 18 to 0 to 0, SA Resolution 2 passes. Next on the agenda, we are moving to... Thank you, VP Bissat. Next on the agenda, we're moving to new business, and the first piece, actually, you might have to go back up there, is Special Projects Request, Cornell Collegetown Student Council Neighborhood Fair. It's not in the packet because...
Okay, so I'm going to use this opportunity to very quickly recall you on how busing these items work, especially for new members. It's very important to kind of have a very solid understanding of this. So when we receive a special project request for less than $250, our standing rules dictate that the president and vice president of finance and student assembly either of which have the ability
another minute.
Okay. So that's the process. If it's under $250, if it's between $250 and $1,500, then it goes to the Appropriations Committee. The Appropriations Committee will do their normal thing, have a hearing, evaluate it, write a report, come here, two-thirds they'll return. And then if it's over $1,500, same thing, but the assembly will only need the one-half majority for the return. Does that make sense? So this budget, this request specifically was fell into the under $250 category. So I have approved the request and I'm now making a formal announcement of the request, and if anyone disagrees with it and wants to go to Appropriations Committee, they have the power to make that motion. So the request, I don't know why I wasn't put in here, I'm sorry, for whatever reason. It's a $100 request submitted by Eric Silverfish on behalf of
CCSC.
The Cornell Collegetown Student Council, and they are holding a neighborhood fair.
EVP Mueller will talk about it.
So one of the things that the Collegetown Student Council, so whatever exactly we're calling it, Collegetown Student Task Force, they sort of realized that part of the tensions that we see in Collegetown are mostly between local residents and the people who live here year-round and the Collegetown students who come in and, for lack of better words, wreck their neighborhood. And, you know, we wanted to show Collegetown full-time residents that these students, there are good students in Collegetown, that we can do something to build community together and have a positive interaction between local residents and Collegetown students. So we'll be basically having a like a fair type thing at the firehouse with lots of different student groups and local organizations, lots of donated food and things like that. We really just need the money for a permit. It's literally $100 for a permit. The rest of it is completely from other student groups and from the city and everything like that. Also, just a quick thing, notice how closely and the angle that I'm holding the microphone. Every single one of you should speak like this always. Then everyone will hear it as loudly and clearly as I'm being heard right now. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any dissent to the approval? No dissent? Okay. Announcement has been made. Moving on to Resolution 4 in support of National Coming Out Day. It was sponsored by Representative Iwaoka Kerr Smith. Emily Dick, J.D. Hooray, who isn't here. Yeah, thanks. You guys have 2 minutes to present, and then because it's new business, SA members will have the opportunity to ask you questions about it. So whenever you want to start. Thank you. There's been a motion to move this resolution to the business of the day. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Resolution 4 is now business of the day. And people on the speakers list, it doesn't have to be restricted to questions anymore. You can make comments as well. First on the speakers list is VP Breeden.
Echo. Hello. Is this good angle, John?
Perfect.
Thank you. I think this is a great resolution. I'm really glad that you guys brought it to the table and you especially made sense of body. I think it's something that the student assembly should definitely endorse 100%. Especially students who are having difficulty or who encounter adversity throughout their college careers, I think they definitely need to know that we support them 100%. So I just want to say I support it and I hope the student assembly will do it.
Next on the speaker's list is VP Desai.
Hi guys, thanks very much for coming. I just want to come on, no pun intended. I wanted to first and foremost say that I very much support the kind of agenda here and what you guys are trying to do. I guess more of where I'm coming from is I've always been against sense of the body for the sake of doing a sense of the body. So my question is, you know, I completely support passing this, but like, how is this actually going to come out and make an effect on the student body? You know, is Haven planning on doing some sort of like promotional activity about the fact that it's National Coming Out Day? Like, is there going to be some sort of event centered around this? Like, I basically don't want this to be something that we talk about for 3 minutes past, and it ends up, you know, a resolution on a website that doesn't really have any pull on campus. So I just wanted to hear, I guess, from either Emily or Dean, you know, what is this actually going to do?
So we did it because the National Coming Out Day, there is actually not very involved in our religion. Even will be running events around this. At least the awareness activities and talking about it through discussion. And something we have a very educated, which are social support groups where we've done a nation of money. But then we have a whole bunch of social support groups, and this topic, in fact, of the essay through a National Coming Out Day and celebrating it, definitely raised that
group. This also gives us a great opportunity for outreach to the community specifically. This could be like on this day, or it could be like a goal to reach out to the LGBT community specifically, and go to a lot of these events that Emily has mentioned. So there's a great outreach opportunity for us as well.
So I guess, Dean, I would follow up on that. Like, I very much agree with what you said, Emily. Dean, as the LGBTQ representative, like, and as VP Finance, I would support, you know, funding for any sort of outreach that you plan to do. Obviously, that comes down to whatever you and Ross and Vice President Gitlin and Vice President Frieden decide. But I think that it would be very wise to go beyond this resolution and actually put some force behind it.
Call to question.
There's dissent. Do you want to make your comment before it's called the question, because you're the last one on the speaker's list?
Oh, I was going to propose an amendment.
It's been called to question, it's been seconded. We are going to, I guess, vote to vote on this resolution.
Point of information,
yes.
Call to question.
What? VP Gitlin? Do you want to retract your... Do you want to withdraw your dissent? Representative Scalfo wants to make an amendment, or do you want to...
My call to question, sure.
Yeah, your call to question, yes. The motion has been withdrawn. Representative Scalfo, what is your amendment or motion?
I'll explain it really quickly. Well, our motion to amend. In our past, we've never supported a day. We've only recognized it. And whenever we describe how we recognize it, we never use an adverb to describe it. We've only recognized things looking at past resolutions passed by Representative Sharpeisen. We recognize AIDS Week. We recognize the Crohn's coitus disease week or day, I forget, and other things of that nature. So I motion to strike strongly support and replace that with recognize.
All right. Representative Scalfo's, do you find that resolution friend? Representative Smith? No, it's okay. So we are going to vote. We're going to open debate on this amendment to the resolution. First on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr.
I personally feel like we split again at this point. I know that the word has been recognized, but it's also Cornell's one of the top 25 LGBT-friendly institutions, according to that poll that came out from the university policy. And I think this would be great for us to do that. To support versus recognize, I guess support is like you're a little more emotional about it, but also, you know, 3 out of 18 of us in the essay currently identify as from LGBT, 7% LGBT. 7% of the point of the entrance of everybody from LGBT is in your poll survey, which is, you know, depending on your estimate, up more than 2 times the national average. I think support may be a stronger word, but I don't see why we shouldn't be using it. don't think this amendment is necessary.
Call the question on the amendment.
The amendment has been called to question, and it's been seconded. So we, any dissent? So we are now going to vote on the amendment, which is Representative Scalfo's amendment. If you are in favor of changing the language to, yes, a majority vote. So if you are in favor of changing the language of the resolution to recognize instead of strongly support, please.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Yes.
Because the sense of the body, the community, votes, two votes.
But not an amendment.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize.
So if you are in favor of that language change, please raise your placards. If you are against the language change, please raise your placards. If you're abstaining, by a vote of 3 to 15 to 0, the amendment fails and we're moving back into debate on the original. It's been called to question and seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to go into a roll call vote on Resolution 4. There's been a motion for a placard vote. And it's been seconded, so we're just going to placard vote instead. Thanks, Chelsea. Yes. So basically, to explain this part of the voting, the SA a couple years ago adopted something called the Community Clause, which is students in the student body are technically ex officio members of the student assembly. If they attend an SA meeting and there are certain resolutions like sense of the body that come up, audience members are allowed to vote and their combined vote counts for two votes. So Sasha is the only audience member. And Emily is also an audience member. Thank you. So they are going to be able to vote as well. So if you are in favor of Resolution 4 in support of National Coming Out Day, please raise your placards. Just keep them up one more time. I'm double checking. Yes.
They should vote first and their count should be before us.
What are you talking about? There's two people in the audience. They get two votes total.
The whole point is that
if you are against Resolution 4, if you're abstaining from Resolution 4, okay? By a vote of 19-0-1, Resolution 4 in support of National Coming Out Day passes. And just one more point of explanation. Now that we pass this resolution, we are going to formally communicate it to the administration, which you will all see that email eventually. So thank you very much. Next on the agenda is Resolution 5, amending the 2012-2013 standing rules. You have 2 minutes, 1 minute to present.
Hey guys, so basically just to clarify the
as close as possible. Literally right in front of your lips.
We're going to add that every elected representative in the schools, colleges, the minority representatives at large, the LGBTQ liaison at large, and the women's issues liaison at large, both one outreach event per semester. and then it could be at-large representatives before at-large representatives. They're going to help plan these two major outreach events we're going to be planning at NSA as a whole, and that would not be their outreach events. The second thing we're going to add is to make sure that everyone's accountable for going through their actual outreach events. Is for outreach, we have to have some 8 outreach events per semester, but instead of being able to go to 8 in the last week, we have to attend those 3 per month. And for every month that you do not attend those meetings, or for those outreach events, then you will get an ask. Obviously, you got to be able to react to those accounts for getting kicked off, so you got to be able to get in that schedule.
All right. There's a motion to move it to business of the day. It's been seconded. You can be on the speaker list. Is there any dissent to that? Seeing none, resolution 5 is business of the day. First on the speaker's list is Representative Smith.
Next is that, well, first of all, I firmly support this, but you said it in the presentation, I'm glad you did, but it doesn't actually go in here. So I motion to amend. After respecting the constituency, adding the word per semester, just so there's no issue about that.
Okay. There was a friendly amendment in the second to last sentence of the second further resolve clause to add per semester to the end of it. So the sentence now reads, elected representatives from all individual schools and colleges, the minority representatives at large, the LGBTQ liaison at large, and the women's issue liaison at large host at least one outreach activity with individuals from their respective constituencies per semester. And that was found friendly. We are now next on the speaker's list is VP Desai.
So I'm actually going to motion to strike the second clause, and I'll speak about it in formal discussion on the amendment for that motion to strike.
There's been a motion to strike. We're now going to go into debate on that motion. And has it been seconded?
Seconded.
There's dissent. We are going to... What? We are going... we're going to go into debate about the motion. Yes. I'm going to defer that to the sponsor.
One event that you have to plan itself per semester, and then for each outreach event on top of that. Don't add it to the list. And also, do I have any comments that you can say?
So, first, you can speak on your motion, and then you'll have a chance to respond.
So my specific rationale here is, especially being on Appropriations Committee last semester, working very closely with previous Vice President of Finance, Nicoletti, and approving most of the expenses that came through. While there were some very, very well done events, I think for the most part, a lot of people were throwing events because they felt like they had to, and like a large majority of them basically consisted of giving out food to, you know, representatives, constituents, or colleges, or stuff like that. And from a financial perspective, I did not see it as a good use of funding. Most people, like, I attended some of the events myself. You barely knew it was student assembly. Like, most people just thought it was another club affiliated with the college. I just feel like if you're taking the time to, like, rent that space and buy food and stand there and give it out, your time would be better spent doing things like the first club, which is actually attending events, representing the student assembly and being a voice to liaise with students. And I feel like that's where our time should be spent, not programming on things that don't have a very high return in my opinion.
VP Gitlin?
I think we'd be failing miserably if we struck this, because I spoke with the company school on the SA, and if you would do a 10 to 8 outreach, you're still going to be missing a core part of the district. Now, I understand, and I was one of them, to be honest, I thought that these events were, sometimes they were great, and sometimes we were all going to get there for commitment, but that's only been the first year. That was still a trial run. I think going for another year is a great idea. Very, very necessary, and if we cut it just because of last year or because of one semester, it would be a huge mistake.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Smith.
I so very strongly agree with Vice President Gibbons. Speaking as the person who is making you guys do a lot of this event, not honestly, the reason some of the events weren't as successful was because maybe SA members didn't exactly put in as much as they should. So I'm speaking as a person, as somebody with a prior education, it is really difficult sometimes to actually reach that competition. And you want to be able to do that. And I think we've been doing a huge disservice, if we don't require those of us who have specific interests to actually reach out to those people and talk to them. And you know, to put it quite bluntly, if you're really not interested in reaching out to the community constituents that you have, the community that you serve, then you should be on the assembly of the president. And that's just my common sense opinion.
Next on the speaker's list is VP Lukashevich.
Well, I understand the point of having to throw an event for your constituency. What if, because I understand the importance of that is reaching out to your constituency. So what if you make a certain number of the event, make it half or make it a majority of the events that you attend within that semester, be focused on the constituency? Because honestly, I'd rather see the SA members focusing on policies that relate to their constituency and policies that relate to the entire student body than focusing on party planning, because I know personally that doesn't do as much for the body as much as it does, party planning doesn't do as much for the student body as changing a policy that affects every single person or your entire constituency.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Hittinger.
Just to go along with everything that's been discussed regarding striking portion of the resolution, I guess my question about why specifically that we see the accountability for holding, for outreach, for reaching out to the community, since you know, for a person to re-elect, for fulfilling the duty that was described, that we, I guess, yearn for, is that that's something like, for instance, Greg and I intend to host an off-hour sort of venue, which means, you know, reach out to engineering students, but that, I'm not sure if that would qualify as an outreach event. It's not, you know, party planning, it's simply like going to duck fields and having conversations. And I think that's going to surprise, you know, it's going to take up more time than would, like over the course of the semester and year than would just like one outreach event. So I guess, why do we need accountability? Can we defer to the, you know, work ethic of a lot of the people on the assembly?
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr.
So some of those issues to be sure, one of those, like, who's giving out the pension. The problem is with the where you have to focus on college-specific outside events, that's not an option for every constituency. It's very difficult for certain colleges to do that. It's not an art of science. There's hundreds of different students, hundreds of different interests. There's no way that you can effectively engage a variety of students in the college without going to 10 events every week. And, you know, for human ecology, even though they're only 7 meters, 7 meters are everything from pre-med to fashion. And they don't always have to compete in the clothes. And so, for a lot of college representatives, it just have to be too great to actually accomplish. And so, by having these events, it allows you to centralize and to get a smattering of students within your respective constituency.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Block.
I really do think this is a debate over pretty much nothing. I think that, you know, Tom, you're pointing out people who are being held accountable, and I think that it's a lot of people have happened in the past month. I think people not. And I would also say that, I mean, that if you guys feel comfortable spending money on the 9, if you feel comfortable with us reaching out to you, then I think that you
would have some money.
So I think that, not so much, but it's not that much money. Any opportunity you have to reach out to, this is a good use of our money. You know, the maybe not a change in voting, but it's like a change in voting. So I'm going to ask you to vote on this. I think people are pretty understanding of where they are. So I vote in favor.
Dissent.
There's been dissent. Can you explain your dissent?
I know that he would like to speak, and I also on the background speaker's list and would like to make another point for this.
So we are going to vote on this motion, okay? The motion was striking the second clause, be it therefore resolved clause, and we are going to vote on that striking, on that motion. Yes.
Can everyone please speak up? I can't hear anything anyone's saying. Point of
clarification. Yes.
Considering the model of the region, I was trying to get the speaker's list, but there's item number people who have filed off.
What's the point?
Can I get a direct response to 5 minutes before the motion?
We are going to vote on that, and then we're going to open up the second speaker's list. So, no, we are voting to vote on the motion to strike. Whether we want to vote on it or whether we want to continue debate and open up the speaker's list again. Yeah.
Basically, if you want to speak some more, then you would vote no, so that way we can not take the vote and it goes back to discussion. If you want to end it, then we can go, if you vote yes, and then we go into a vote about the amendment.
Okay, so those who are in favor of voting on this motion and not continuing debate, raise your placards. Those who are not in favor of voting and want to continue debate, raise your placards. Those who abstain. By a vote of 5-12-0, that we are going to go back into debate on the motion to strike. VP Gibbs.
Alright, I just want to address some things that I came up. One is that we will be in fact if we leave it to the multiple health council, where we have a lot of people who are just lazy and just buy something. I think not having some sort of way of making people accountable will lead to people not getting that agreement. And from what I've heard in the past 2 weeks of meeting with a lot of different organizations, we've been doing a much better job this year at getting that agreement than we've had in the past. Secondly, not necessarily everyone is in the club. Even if I give a list of organizations and a list of events that clubs are open, you're still not going to reach all your constituents. If we just leave it at that, you're not going to reach all your constituency, your entire constituency, and the whole point of my position is to make sure that you do reach your entire constituency. And my last point is, I know there's this notion that it's a party plan. They already done our party plan, because that's what it necessarily was. So it's your decision to make it how you want, and ultimately we will see what you came up with the best idea. So it could be a speak-up event, it could be forums, it doesn't have to be this party plan thing. I think that people should come out and talk for now. Just about our career and child can be just like a forum.
Next on the speaker's list is VP Green.
Thank you. First of all, I want to take off the party plan thing. I think there's certainly events that you can have that don't necessarily have to involve food or something like that, jolly in there, but something that honestly gets out and engages the community. I also think that being a college resident and engaging colleges is like a critical component of being on the student level. Like, you can honestly, without this clause right here, you can be elected by the college that you represent and never actually have to be obligated to give back. Not true. Like, if you're going to be called a college rep, you should have a tangible responsibility to give back to that college. Which is huge. And also, from a policy standpoint, sometimes it's not really possible for a college rep to be part of an active change on a policy level. And it's more about publicizing and outreaching based on what the student assembly can offer. I know specifically for the hotel school, it's more like an administrative thing that it's hard to crack. So with that, I call the question.
So we're calling the motion to strike to question. It's been seconded. There's dissent. What's your dissent?
I'm talking.
What?
Want to talk?
So we are going to vote again on this motion to strike. We're doing the same thing that we did before. We're voting whether to continue debating or to vote on it. So if you are in favor of voting on it and ending debate on this motion to strike, please raise your placards. If you are against and you want to continue debating, abstentions. By a vote of 14-2-1, we are going to vote on this motion to strike. And is everyone clear on that? Okay, this is the original motion that VP Ricochetis made. VP Desai made. And it's going to be a placard vote. So if you are in favor of striking the second, be it therefore dissolved clause, please raise your placard. Yes. There's been a motion to roll call vote. It's been seconded. Okay.
On the amendment?
On the amendment to strike.
Guy? Walt?
No.
Wanasi?
Yeah.
Brayden? Brayden?
No.
Chopra?
No.
Sorry?
No.
Desai?
Yes.
Ross Gibson?
No.
Ginger?
Yes.
Iwoka?
No.
Kurt?
No.
Lee?
No.
Louis Chavez?
Okay.
Marshall? Muir?
No.
Delta?
Yes.
Okay. By a vote of 9-3-2, the motion fails. With what? 5-9-3, the motion fails, which means we're going back to the original resolution. Okay. It's been called to question, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to placard vote on this resolution. If you're in favor of SA Resolution 5, amendments in the 2012-2013 standing rules, please raise your placards. Could you just raise it once more? If you are not in favor, if you're against Resolution 5, abstentions. By a vote of 12-5-1, SA Resolution 5 passes.
I just want to take the time to honor you, Representative Smith, who is pivotal in the conversation.
Okay. So, given the amount of time and given that we have an executive session training after this, Resolution 6 is going to go next week.
For the parliamentary procedure.
Yeah.
I don't think that had enough votes in the past. If it's 2/3 of sitting members, it's not 2/3 of sitting members. It's not present members, it's sitting members, which means everyone is on the assembly at the time. We didn't even have 2/3 of present. We had exactly 2/3 of present and people are missing, so it can't have been 2/3 of sitting.
Twelve to 5-1.
Yeah.
We're just double checking the vote because there are some resolutions that have to vote, like have to pass by 2/3 and some by majority. And then some. Okay, so we are going to actually listen to the presentation of Resolution 6 for a little while we figure out the other vote, and ask a couple questions, and then we'll go into the executive session.
It will be recorded.
And it will be presented again as unfinished business, eventually. 12-5-1.
Finance is presented today to be just going to be out there. If you have any clarifying questions, I'll take those. Otherwise, I really don't want to debate on this right now. I just want to see that be all on the same kind of working purpose of the resolution. The resolution today seeks to establish an associate membership. This is very similar. It's not asking to change the way the student assembly operates. For many years, we've had engaged on the resolution to staff and the assembly. We also allow so we have a lot of people to sit at the table to be part of the family. So the cans on the line is just some really looking to be able to be a home election member. And it's not just freshmen. Anyone who doesn't want to run the team election is also a participation in the assembly, but also think those people who may be in the election. So what we came up with after talking to many members of this group is the attitude associated membership relationship. Basically, the idea behind this is the individual is given their meeting status and operating status. So much like what we need on the position in the past, except instead of representing a specific community, they see an add-on meeting on the the resolution itself, we're still talking, especially if Rob is going to present the resolution next to the freshman committee. We're kind of debating about maybe how we're rotating things, so someone will be an associate member for a couple months, and then get an idea of what these kind of things like to contribute their ideas. So that's an idea that we're looking at right now. But basically, it's just a way to engage people who are in the student assembly, and they don't want to run, they have ideas, and they bring them up here, and they can kind of be a part of the assembly for a period of time. So if you have any questions about clarifying the role of them, I'll take those now, but otherwise, I'm really excited to be here.
So we're opening up the speakers list. First on the speakers list is, and remember this is only questions because it's a new business, only questions. And Representative Bonazzi, you have the first question. You can only ask questions.
So how would the official member be elected? And also, yeah, and also, don't you think that having more...
Only questions.
Okay, so there's some report attached to this behind it. We're just going to talk about the associate membership position. And we kind of talk about the selection as well. We select them up at the end of the meeting, selected the names on the selection focal committee. It goes through a certain process. We did ask them questions to see what the resources are. And another interesting thing about this is this will allow us to target communities that we may not get right now. So if there's a certain community that we don't have representation from, we have an associate member who is going to come there and speak and take their ideas.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kirk.
What is the logic behind rotating membership on a monthly basis as opposed to letting the family assembly for a semester or day for a year basis in the feeling? Even just as an associate member of the NSA, that does open the door to talk to other administrators or other constituencies. So what?
The only rotation we do really is the semester days of the semester. They might be given a long time on the assembly, but also, we obviously want to introduce too many people, but
Okay. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Ballard.
Oh,
okay. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Lee.
Why do you think this is necessary when they talk to our representative when they're working out? Because, you know, we have a lot of conflict and, you know, like, even if you come in like that,
Next on the speaker's list is VP Lucia. There's been a motion on the floor to adjourn. Well, to table this, the correct motion would be to table this and move to executive session. Is that the motion? It's been tabled. Do you amend your motion? There's been a motion to postpone and move to executive session. Has it been seconded? It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to postpone SA Resolution 6 to another meeting. Before we adjourn for executive session, we're just moving back to Resolution 5 for a second. Resolution 5 has to pass by 2/3 majority of those present here. With a 12-5-1 vote, which is what it was, it's exactly 2/3 of the people here, which gives the chair the tie-breaking vote as to whether it passes or not. And I vote in favor of the resolution, so SA Resolution 5 passes, and the standing rules are hereby amended. With that, I am adjourning this session of the Student Assembly, and we're going to move into executive session now.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.